are back. This is 180. I'm Carl Claussen. Hope you're having a fantastic day. With me in studio, Dr. George Koch. It's time for What We Believe and Why. If you want to get a copy, follow along. We've still got a bit to go. We've been going after this for a few months. We still got
it's been a stretch to go.
It's
been fun.
I've been a kick in the pants. Go to whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Get your own copy. Pastor Koch, Dr. George Koch, they're the same person. He's sitting right here. Trust me, I can tell it. He is the pastor of the Res Church in West Chicago. Anglican Church there doing a wonderful work, breaking ground next spring in a new building. And it's awesome to hear what God's doing there.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be there.
Is it fun?
It is fun.
Having a ball?
Yeah. Good.
Good
folks. I love my congregation. Really solid, loving, caring group people.
Yeah.
I love them.
Well, they follow the leader. That's what all people do. Okay. We've been talking spiritual concepts here for a couple of weeks. This is critical because we often get very dogmatic around ideas that aren't necessarily derived from the scriptures as much as they're from the scriptures and then salted or seasoned with issues of culture, socioeconomic class, tradition. I was raised this way, just to put it bluntly. How do we sort through this and take on the toughest doctrinal issues?
Well, the first thing is to realize that there's even an issue. And I think that's probably a challenge for most of us. We see things the way we see them because it's been the way we've been trained to see them. And to take a step back from that and ask, am I actually seeing rightly, or is everything I see colored
right
by my upbringing or my tradition, or for that matter, my theology? This is a big step to take to want to see rightly.
Okay, so here's a hot potato. I'm going to chuck it in your lap, and since you wrote on it, I know you can handle it. My goodness, there's a lot of diverging opinion about baptism.
Now,
but let me say this. For most of my listeners, there's not a huge divergence of opinion. There really isn't. And yet, and there's a lot of teachability. But around the world, and if you start digging a little bit below the surface, as we even traveled to Israel together with a group of very distinctly and uniquely different theological background people, boy, there is some differences.
Well, and there are big differences in the major denominational lines, too, between Protestants and Roman Catholics, within Protestantism, between those who will baptize infants and those who will only baptize adult believers. So there are a lot of distinctions on baptism across the whole Christian spectrum.
Take on some of these and help us understand the scope of the wrestling match.
Well, let me start with this sort of foundational statement. There are no rules given in Scripture regarding who can do baptism or receive it. That's pretty interesting.
Well, that's a bold statement.
But it's true.
Okay, but well, let me do what I think a listener might be saying, and that is, well, ask him, Carl, so I'll ask you. Baptism is a calling for those who believe in Jesus Christ, believe and be baptized. So isn't that for the who?
Absolutely right. But my point is about the who. How old are they? How were they formed?
Okay.
Who is allowed to do the baptism? How is that baptism recognized by other churches? All of that who and how comes out of our traditions and out of our denominations and out of an, if you would, doctrinal concepts that were formed but which are not present in the biblical text.
And there's almost, in some of it, some people would say there's a healthy jealousy for truth to prevail. So they want to know who baptized you, when were you baptized, because there are a lot of question marks with regard to when you get baptized, who it is that baptizes.
Absolutely right. And probably the big awakening for me personally was when I first came to Resurrection to be the pastor just after I was called, which was a billion years ago. I was standing outside of a coffee shop with a fellow pastor late at night, and we were just literally marveling at how wonderful it was to be called and to be able to pastor God's people. And some street evangelists came up to us and said, "Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior?" And we said, "We sure do. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. We love him. We're followers of him." They said, "Have you been baptized?" And we said, "We have, and in a Christian church." And they said, "But you weren't baptized in our church," and meaning their specific local church. And we said, "No, we weren't." And
so the party's losing its power
all
now.
All of a sudden, you know, it's starting to get it's starting to go sideways. And they said, "The church is so unfaithful outside of our own local congregation that unless you have been baptized by us at our church, you are still lost in your sins."
Yeah, let me just interrupt that interesting story with a bulletin. The church is unfaithful. Just go to the book of Revelation.
Right.
You find 6 out of 7 churches that are rebuked for an aspect of unfaithfulness.
Well, go to Romans 7. We're all unfaithful.
We're all unfaithful. So I just want to stop and just tell you that are listening right now, praise be to God. The tomb is empty. God is faithful.
Amen. He is.
Oh, my goodness. So, and I've had those same conversations where I thought we were going to have this great hugging party with someone at the door of my home or on the street. Why is there such a division and a jealousy to be baptized in my church? Air quotes there.
Yeah, air quotes. You know, I think it's a privilege to be able to lead someone to the Lord and baptize them. It's a privilege to be the person that brings someone into the community, into the body of Christ. So we would love to do it for that reason. I think it's hubris that makes us think that if it's not us that does it, God somehow doesn't respect it.
This issue of baptism is an interesting one. Clearly, there are some things that can unify all of us. One is that it's a believer's baptism. I mean, it's the privilege that we have of recognizing that the grace of God has been bestowed on us. Where else can we unify, George?
Well, I think we can unify in understanding what Jesus has called us to do. The commandments that he gives are very, very few. I mean, he gives teachings and parables to help illuminate his commands, but his commands are pretty simple. Love God, love neighbor, love even your enemy, and pray for them. Demonstrate that you're my followers by the way you love each other, not by how good your doctrine is and how good you are at defending it against people who don't agree with you.
Right.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't debate doctrine. I think it's healthy if we do it in a way which is respectful and loving toward each other.
Yes.
But Jesus told us the way people will know that we are his by the way we love each other, not by the excellence of our fighting with each other.
You're Anglican. There's some that wear a robe or a collar, and they would at times say, and not you, but they would at times say, this is a job for the ordained. The funny thing is, the scriptures never
doesn't say a word
that
about who is allowed to do baptism. And in fact, we're actually taught as Anglicans in seminary that any Christian can baptize someone.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
And I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Why do we tend to organize what God has chosen to leave unorganized?
Oh,
great
boy.
Comfort there.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's a great question. I think part of it is just practical, that it helps to have things organized. There has to be a form in which things manifest, and I think churches can have healthy forms or not, and we ought to always look for the healthiest way, the most godly way to do things.
I love it. This is great discussion because this leads us right back to the foot of the Savior. And that's where we need to be, George.
Following what he taught, what he commanded, what he demonstrated.
Next week at this time, we're going to talk communion. Okay, my friend?
Yes, sir.
All right. George Koch, everyone. You want to find out more? Go to whatwebelieveandwhy.com, or you can listen to George Moore every Sunday at 1 o'clock right here on AM 1160. This is 180, Your Life, A New Direction.